to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Configuring ITCAM SLA Data Collection for Data Power. Today's presenter is Doreen Yeltsin. Doreen joined WebSphere Data Power SLA Appliance Support Team in December 2008 after working in WebSphere Support and IBM Global Services. She collaborates with the Tivoli team to help customers with ITCAM, SLA, and data power integration issues. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Doreen.
Hello, everybody. This is Doreen Yeltsin. Thank you so much for joining us today. In the presentation, we're on page one, and you can see my name there and my email address. So if there's a question that we don't get answered during the question and answer session at the end, feel free to email me at that email address, yeltsin@us.ibm.com, and we can work on any questions that you have offline. Joseph, can we go to slide number two, please? Slide two is an agenda of what we're going to go over today. First, we have a few slides on an overview of the integration between Data Power and ITCAM SOA, and then we'll go over how you configure both sides of that integration, what you have to do on the Data Power side, and then what you have to do on the ITCAM SOA side. And then once you have the configuration done, we'll go over a few tips on how you test and how you look for success when you're testing, how you monitor the integration just to make sure that it's working. And then some common problems that customers run into and how you integrate support for more advanced features like support for topology views in ITCAM and support for a different kind of service on Data Power called a multi-protocol gateway. Okay, Joseph, we can go to slide three. This is just a simple overview of the way traffic flows through Data Power. Data Power is an appliance. Customers use it out in front of their end business solutions to do extra value services like extra security, transformation to integrate two different components in their business solution. So typically a client, maybe out on the internet, will send a request, and instead of it going directly to the back-end server where the business solution is implemented, the request will first go through Data Power. And the appliance might be out in your DMZ in your network so that Data Power can turn away invalid requests, for example, before they get to the business solution on your internal network. Data Power, therefore, is kind of like a proxy, right? It intercepts requests before they get to your back end and then forwards them. And the way you configure these proxies on Data Power is through what we call services. So there's different kinds of these services that you can configure. For example, if your back end solution is a web page, like a web application, we have something called a web app firewall that you can configure on Data Power. But for SOA-type business requests, we have two major services, we call them, that handle SOA messages. One's called a web service proxy, and it's based on web services definition language or a WSDL file that identifies your back-end web service and what port it runs on, what operations it allows, where the endpoints are for it. And web services typically process SOAP messages. So a web service proxy service in Data Power is kind of tailor-made for SOA, right? It's typically what SOA solutions are web services. But we have another service also called a multi-protocol gateway, and it can also process web service requests or SOAP messages. It can process XML messages also or binary files. And one of its big strengths is that it handles multiple protocols like it says in the name, right? So on your front end, maybe you have an HTTP request coming in from a web browser, but on the back end, maybe instead of hitting a web service, maybe you want to put a message on an MQ queue, or you want to FTP the request somewhere, and vice versa. On the input side, you might have files on an FTP server that you want to pull in, or messages on an MQ queue that you want to pull in and send to a web service on the back end. And those are the kinds of things that you can do with a multi-protocol gateway. So in this chart, actually, the multi-protocol gateway and web service proxy should be shown like as peer services that you can configure on Data Power. So that multi-protocol gateway bullet should be outdated just a little bit. And these are the two main services that customers can monitor with ITCAM SLA. There's a few other services that Data Power supports, but these are kind of the most powerful and the ones that we target when we're trying to do monitoring. Okay, slide number 4, please. Joseph? Okay, the slide 4 shows something called a Web Services Management Buffer. So Data Power, by default, doesn't keep aside anything about these business requests going through it so that they can be tracked or that metrics can be gathered on them. But if you configure Data Power so that you can collect information using ITCAM SLA, Data Power keeps a little bit about each of the business requests in this Web Services Management Buffer. And it's just a buffer in memory. You can configure the size of it and how much memory it uses so that, you know, there's not too much resource allocated on the appliance for it compared to actually processing your request. And normally, you might not care how Data Power actually implements its integration with ITCAM. You might not care that there's an internal buffer where it's setting aside a little bit of metadata about each business transaction. But in this case, we're going to see that we actually look at the status of this WSM buffer or Web Services Management Buffer as a way to make sure the integration is working. So you'll see this WSM buffer picture a lot throughout the rest of the presentation because we'll be using Data Power commands and the Data Power web interface to check the status of the buffer. Okay, slide number 5, please, Joseph. So now we're bringing ITCAM SLA into the picture with Data Power, and we can see how ITCAM SLA actually pulls data from this WSM buffer and collects it in its own metric log. So a component called the data collector in ITCAM SLA will actually log into Data Power. Data Power has an end user interface, a web interface, where administrators can log in and solution programmers can log in and configure services on it and define different interfaces and enable different features. And there's one particular interface on port 5550 by default that allows other components that IBM provides to log into the appliance and do things like data collection. This same interface is used by WebSphere 7 to log into the appliance and manage it. So the configuration or the integration is actually a pull from the Tivoli side or the ITCAM SLA side. So Data Power is just setting aside records in this buffer, and ITCAM SLA comes and gets them on an interval that you specify on the ITCAM SLA side. The data collector, once it pulls the records, puts them temporarily in a metric log. And so we're kind of highlighting that in the middle of the page because, again, later on when you're trying to test and monitor and make sure your implementation is correct, you'll be looking for new data in the metric log whenever ITCAM SLA is up and running and pulling data from Data Power. There are other components that are involved on the Tivoli side to actually take that data in the metric log and make it usable for you. So with ITCAM SLA data collection, your end goal is to have lots of metrics and information on the business transactions that are flowing through Data Power. So in the end, what your you know, management team might be monitoring or your operations team might be looking at is the Tivoli Enterprise Portal Console, or TEP, T-E-P. And so we'll see a little picture of what that might look like later. But the metric log is eventually processed by other Tivoli components, like an agent that kind of accumulates the data from the metric log and gets it into a format that this Tivoli Enterprise Portal Console can consume and display information about your business transactions in a graphic and user interface. Okay, slide 6, please. So we've kind of looked at a general overview of how business transactions go through Data Power. Data Power sets a little bit of information on each one aside in a buffer, and ITCAM comes and pulls the data from that buffer and eventually gets the data up to the TEP console. So on the Data Power side, configuration is really simple. That's kind of the whole point of the Data Power appliance model, is to allow you to configure services and solutions easily in a web user interface. So Data Power actually has an administrator role, and the administrator can log into a web page and go and change different settings on the appliance. And to enable ITCAM SLA data collection, the administrator just has to check a checkbox. So this slide shows actually how the administrator will navigate. The web interface has a left navigation menu, like the WAS admin console has, if you guys have ever been in that. So there's different selections on the left, and you just have to go select object and then device management and then XML management interface. And then there's a little checkbox called WS management endpoint, and you just check it and click apply, and you are set up for the most basic metrics collection. In addition, there's a little second bullet here that it makes things a lot easier if you take a second step and make another selection under Web Services Management Agent. And there's a buffering mode option there where the default is called discard. And Data Power is foremost a secure appliance, so it helps protect your back-end solution. It's tamper-resistant. People have to be authorized to log into it. And by default, everything is set at its most secure setting. So by default, if nobody is collecting information from a Data Power appliance, it will throw away anything that's in the WSM buffer if nobody's there to collect it. And so if you're trying to do your setup and you're setting up Data Power and then later going to set up ITCAM SLA, it just makes it easier to change that more secure option and choose this buffer setting, which means that any records that reflect some test transactions that you sent through the appliance will be kept around for a while, and then later on when you get your ITCAM SLA side set up, there'll be actually data there for it to collect. So it just makes things a little simpler to set this buffer setting as well. Okay, slide 7, please. On the ITCAM SLA side, I think the configuration is just as easy. So on the Data Power side, you had to click a checkbox and click on a pull down, right? So just two simple steps to get started. And on the ITCAM SLA side, you'll remember that ITCAM SLA actually logs into Data Power with a user ID and password. It logs in on a port, which is 5550 by default, and it pulls the data. So on the ITCAM SLA side, you have to tell the data collector where Data Power is and what user ID and password to use for the login. There's a little utility. I show the kind of things it prompts for here on slide 7. And I show running this config DC utility here with the dash console option, which just means that you get prompted on the command line, like if you are using SSH or Telnet and you're running ITCAM SOA on like a Linux or Unix system, for example, and you don't have the ability to display pop-ups, this is a simple way to just do the configuration kind of from the command line. If you don't use that dash console option, you get nice little pop-ups that prompt you for this same information. ITCAM SOA talks to a lot more things than just data power. So initially, after selecting the language that you want to see the menus in, you're prompted for what you want to do data collection from, and data power is choice number 7. So there's a lot of other options that you can use ITCAM SOA with. And then you choose that you want to configure a data power instance as your second option. And then you just point to where the data power is. So you provide the host name of the appliance, the user ID and the password that you want to log into. And I didn't show it here just to make the slide really simple, but you're also prompted if you want to use the default port 5550 for that communication or if you want to change it. The final thing you're prompted for is called a domain list. On data power, the appliance is pretty powerful, so you don't tend to use a data power appliance for just one business solution. You typically have multiple business solutions all going through a data power appliance to multiple solutions on your back end. And so you have multiple application development teams all wanting to configure their services and solutions on one appliance, and there's a feature called domains in data power that lets each of those application teams kind of have their own sandbox or their own portion of the appliance to work in. So a domain is a collection of services for one particular business solution, and you can have multiple domains on one appliance, and each domain can be exported individually, so it can be copied to other places. Each domain can be restarted individually, so that way multiple groups can all work on one appliance without impacting each other. And so one option when you're doing ITCAM SOA collection is to specify a domain list if you only want to collect information on some services but not everything running on that appliance. So a couple of tips in blue here are that customers run into problems sometimes with the user ID and password that they configure on the ITCAM SOA side. So a simple way to get started is just to use the all-powerful admin user ID and password. Sometimes you won't have access to that, and it's not an option for you, but admin on data power is kind of like root on a Unix box. It's, you know, an ID that has access to everything. And so just one tip, you know, if you have access to the admin user ID and password, and a simple, easy way to get started is to use it if it's okay with, you know, the rest of your team. And another tip on making your initial configuration as simple as possible is just to leave the domain list blank. And then data power will collect information on everything running on your appliance. And then later on when you see that your integration is working great, you can fine-tune it and specify only specific domains if that's what you need to do later. Okay, slide number 8, please. When you run the config DC utility on the ITCAM SOA side, and that can be Windows or Unix, it runs on at least those two platforms, a tip is to go look at the configuration file after it's been created. In your config directory under the ITCAM SOA install location, there'll be a file called KD4 DPDC config properties. So DPDC stands for data power data collection. And the information that you entered when you ran the config SDC utility is just reflected here in this properties file. And so it's a good idea to just come check this file and just kind of confirm that the data you entered is here, partly because, at least in my case, you tend to run the utility more than once. Maybe because at first you're working with one appliance and then you might be working with another one, or you realize that you entered something incorrectly and you want to try the configuration again. When you run config.dc multiple times, at least in my experience, one ITCAM SOA is enabled to collect from multiple data power appliances. Typically, in your solution, you won't just have one data power, right? You'll have appliances in your development environment and maybe in your quality assurance and in production. And even in each environment, you won't tend to have just one appliance. You'll tend to have at least two for failover and load balancing. So because that support is there for multiple appliances, each time you run the config utility, it adds another stanza to this file, this configuration file. So if the file looked like chart 8, here, and I ran the utility again, I would see that the data power count had increased to 2 instead of 1 after I ran for the second time, and information on the second data power appliance that I configured would be added to the bottom of this file. Sometimes if you didn't mean to configure a second appliance, but you meant to just reconfigure the first one you did, you might want to go back in here and clean up this file. That's what I tend to do. I go back in and I change the count back to 1 and I delete the stanza that I'm not going to be using. And so that's just, plus it, you know, it helps you feel confident about your configuration when you just go take a quick look at the config file and make sure it looks as you expect. The only reason the file case the file can't be edited directly is for this password. It's encoded. It looks to me like a 64-bit encoded because you don't want passwords in the clear anywhere on your in your infrastructure. And so the only other tip here for this file is don't go just type your password in the file because it has to be encoded properly for ITCAM SOA to decode it and use it for the login. Okay, slide number 9, please. So we've got the data power side configured and the ITCAM side configured, but ITCAM is not running yet in this recommended step-by-step scenario. So the first thing you do when you want to test is you send four requests, and that number 4 is arbitrary, to your data power service. So say you've got a web service. You send 4 requests to your web service proxy, and then you go look and see if the records are really being set aside in that WSF buffer, like we showed in the integration overview. The way you check the buffer is, again, in that Data Power web GUI, there's a status option, and under that, you can look under web service WSM agent status, and it shows you how many records have been seen, how many requests have come through your appliance, and how many of those requests are complete and ready to be collected. We have some more detail on the next slide, so just go to slide 10. There's a little more detail about what these different line items in the WSM status mean. The records seen is the total number of records that have come through the appliance once the WSM processing was enabled, right? So once you check that checkbox that says you want to enable web services management, this shows how many records have come through since then. This number record seen will be just since the last time you rebooted. So the web services management buffer gets cleared out and its status gets cleared out if you reboot the appliance. Records lost are records that are discarded when the buffer is full. The buffer has upper limits on how many records it can hold and how much memory it can take up. because the primary focus for a data power appliance is processing your business transactions as quickly and securely as possible. And so you wouldn't want collecting metrics to impact that. So you wouldn't want the amount of memory used for data collection to be unlimited, because that might impact the resources available for processing their actual business requests. So if you had some extremely high volume scenario, or maybe if you were collecting data in this WSM buffer and you didn't have an ITCAM SLA data collector running at all, right? Nobody was coming to pull this data, then eventually the buffer will be full and new transactions will just be thrown away. So you'll be able to manage that, you know, with different parameters, like you can tune the size of this buffer, you can tune how often ITCAM SLA comes in and collects data. So part of your testing and monitoring is being familiar with the status and watching when the collector comes in and collects data, that the amount of records in the buffer never gets near the maximum, your records, you never show any records lost. That tells you that you've tuned both the data power side and the ITCAM side correctly to keep up with the traffic. Complete records at the bottom are the records sitting there ready for collection. We've sent a request through data power. We've gotten the response from the back end, and that creates a complete record, and it's ready to be sent to ITCAM or pulled by ITCAM. Pending records are records where we've seen the request come in, but we haven't matched it up with a response from the back end yet. And so those records aren't ready to be collected. And so you'll just want to make sure that there's typically a small number in there, right, where maybe just the timing of when you looked at the buffer, maybe there were a couple requests that were in flight when you looked at status. Slide 11. So you've sent some requests through data power. Four complete records are sitting there waiting to be collected. When you start ITCAM SLA with the start DPDC command, you'll see that after a bit, you know, after you let the collector get started, the active subscribers number will increment from 0 to 1 because now you have somebody collecting information. And the complete records will go from 4 to 0 because ITCAM has collected the records that are complete, you know, where we've gotten both the request and the response. ITCAM has collected the data, and there's nothing else to collect right now. So what you'll look for in this WSM agent status is I tend to go in and just keep hitting refresh if I'm using the web interface, or there's also a command line interface called where you can enter a show WSM status command, like if you're SSH'd into the data power appliance and you're a command line type of person instead of web interface. So if you keep refreshing the status for this WSM buffer, what you want to look for is for your complete records to climb over time, and then when it's time for ITCAM SLA to come in and collect the data, then the complete records will drop back down almost to zero and then start climbing up again. By default, ITCAM SLA, I think, has a 10-second polling interval, and that's something that you can change with that config DC utility that we looked at earlier, where you configure the data power user ID, password, and host name. So you can, in addition to saying, I want to collect from this data power, you can say how often that you come in and collect data. So every 10 seconds by default, ITCAM SLA will come collect data. So if you're sitting there in the data power web GUI hitting refresh, you know, you might hit refresh every couple seconds, right? And you'll see the complete records climb. And then at the 10-second poll interval, you'll see the complete records drop almost to zero, depending on how fast business requests are coming in. Okay, slide 12, please. once you see those records go from some number like 4 to 0 in the WSM status, you know that ITCAM has successfully pulled some data from your data power appliance, so you're almost home. So you can go look on the ITCAM SOA data collector. There's something called a metric log. Again, under the home directory where ITCAM SOA is installed, there'll be a KD4 directory, and under that, a logs directory. And then for each of the different domains on the appliance, there'll be a metric log with the data power appliance and the domain that data was collected from indicated in the metric log name. And when I'm doing testing, I'm just checking that there is new content in this metric log. I'm not really analyzing the actual data in it to see if it's correct. But I did include in here just a sample out of the metric log when I was testing a Hello World kind of web service. So you can kind of see the things that are collected, you know, a little bit about the URL, say hello. And in my case, I was testing an issue where the request came in and we couldn't connect to the actual back-end solution. So for failures, some failure information is recorded in the log, this metric log. So mostly when I test, I just watch that WSM status on the data power side. When I see the complete records drop to zero, I just go look that there's more information in the metric log. I don't worry about exact number of records or content, just that there's more data over there. Okay, slide 13, please. So the end goal is to get the data in a graphic display, you know, for generating reports and so forth. And here's just a sample screenshot of the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or TEP. This is kind of just a basic view where you can see how many transactions were processed. So in the lower left in the blue, you can see just the count of how many messages came through. Upper right indicates response times. Lower right talks about the size of the messages. So if you send through 4 requests, you're hoping in the blue section down below to see 4 requests and 4 responses. Okay, slide 14, please. So if you're not successful, and some of the milestones that we were talking about, like, you know, your WSM buffer doesn't have the right status in it, the complete records aren't showing up, or maybe there's nothing in the metric log on the ITCAM side, here's a couple of common problems that people run into. And the first one is the user ID setup. So when we were talking about the user ID that you get prompted for in the config DC utility, we talked about maybe one simple step might be to use the admin user ID there. When you set up a brand new user ID in data power, it has an expired password by default, just like almost any system where you set up a new user. So a common mistake is that people will set up a brand new user with a password, and that password's already expired. So when ITCAM tries to use it, it can't log in. So a tip is, you know, after you set up this new user ID, try to use it in the Data Power Web GUI and make sure you can get in and look around in the domains where you expect to monitor your services. And like I mentioned before, don't just type the password in the configuration file. Use the config DC utility because it encodes the password in a specific way for use by the data collector. And then if your collection's not working, again, you can try testing with the admin ID, and that'll help you figure out if the user ID is really maybe a contributor to the problem or not. And then the other really common problem is this data power buffering mode. Again, you know, the default, with everything with data power, is the most secure, bare-bones setting of discard. So sometimes if you're doing testing with data power requests, the WSM buffer won't show anything in it, And that's because if there's no collector running, we just discard the records. So using this buffer setting works a lot better. Okay, slide 15, please. Okay, the configuration that we went through is really basic. So if you just want to see your message counts and message sizes and response times in the TEP like we looked at on the previous chart, you're all set. But say your response time for some of your services or your business transactions is not what you need, you know, to satisfy your customers. It's not an acceptable response time. You will be wishing you could drill down and figure out of the all the components that contribute to that response back to the customer, where is response time problem? And the topology view in the Tivoli Enterprise Portal lets you see how services relate to each other and service flows. So in a typical business solution, right, you won't necessarily just have one web service in your solution, right? You might have multiple services that all contribute to the response back to the end user. And so this topology view lets you see how services work together, you know, maybe where some problems are in your response time. If you have different components in your infrastructure like data power and WebSphere, you know, both contributing to the response back to the customer, it helps you see maybe where slow parts of that solution are. So if you want this extra functionality, then Data Power provides some style sheets that you can add to your configuration in Data Power to give you this topology feature. So by default, all you get is those things we showed earlier, message size and account of the messages. And if you want more information, then the style sheets add a little SOAP header in the business request as it's coming through so that the path that the business request follows can be tracked by the Tivoli components as the business request flows through all the different services and infrastructure components. You just drag three style sheets. Data Power, again, is an end-user interface that supports drag and drop in some of the configuration components. So we provide out of the box the three style sheets that you need, and you just have to drag them into your processing policy for your services to get this extra support. Slide 16, please. And then we talked a little bit about how multi-protocol gateway is another service you can configure on Data Power. It's not based on a WSDL or a web service definition like a web service proxy is. So there's nothing really for Data Power and ICKMSOA to base what should go in that WSM buffer on, right? We can't. When there's a WSDL there, we can parse the WSDL and figure out the endpoints and the operation and the port number. But without that structure, we don't really know what features or attributes of the business request that we need to record in the WSM buffer. And so if you have a multi-protocol gateway that you want to, you know, monitor with ITKMSOA, then you kind of do your own programming to configure, add a style sheet to the processing policy for the service, and you write the WSM record out yourself. Now, it's not as bad as maybe I made it sound there, because the Tivoli documentation on ITKMSOA has a great graphic layout of exactly the flow and what the WSM record needs to do, and there is sample code in the Data Power extension functions guide. And I've worked with customers who've been able to use that and get multi-protocol gateways working. So if the examples don't help you, let us know here in support, and we will be glad to get you the rest of the way there. Okay, slide 17, please. When you're working with multi-protocol gateways, again, use that buffering mode buffer option, because when you have your code write out one of those WSUM records, it'll get back a bad return code if nobody's collecting currently and the buffer mode is still set to discard. So again, that buffering mode is kind of pervasive throughout these charts because it's just so much easier to change that default. It makes things simpler. And then a common problem with gateways, since you're not using out-of-the-box style sheets and you're writing your own, sometimes you need to put your WSUM processing on the request path and the response path and the error path for your multi-protocol gateway. So sometimes you'll forget that there are some error conditions that you might not be handling properly, where you're not associating a specific response back to the request that came in. So in that example I had earlier where you have a request coming in and the back-end system is down and you weren't able to get a response, your multi-protocol gateway processing has to take that into account and associate, you know, the failure codes with the request. So sometimes with multi-protocol gateways, customers will find the pending record count climbing and climbing in that WSUM agent status. And when that's the case, we just take a good look at the processing policy and look for maybe loopholes in the processing where we didn't account for a specific kind of response that's possible in the solution. Okay, slide 18. Okay, so slide 18 is our summary. So we just talked about to death probably, monitoring this web services management buffer when you're testing Data Power and ITKM SOA. That's the best way to watch how things are working. There are some tech notes that we're going to post to the WSTE site for this presentation that go into more detail on the common problems that we talked about with setting up your user ID and setting up buffering mode equal buffer. Or if you end up not seeing them on that site, feel free to email me. And then some good resources specific to ITKM SOA and Data Power are the ITKM SOA Info Center, and there's actually a red book on ITKM SOA monitoring. Okay, slide 19. So slide 19 shows you some great resources that are general for IBM products, not just Data Power and ITKM SOA. So DeveloperWorks has a lot of great in-depth technical knowledge on it. There's things about ITKM and Data Power there or any other products that you might be using from IBM. There's an events link that talks about webcasts and conference information, you know, like the one you're in today. User groups are available for you to join, and you can look on WebSphere.org for that. IBM Education Assistant is a tool that lets you do some self-study and self-help on IBM products. And the SR tool, or service request tool, is how you get in touch with me. If you're running into a problem with your Data Power appliance or your integration with ITKM SOA and you need to submit a problem to us here in support. We also encourage everybody to look at My Notification so that you get kind of proactive communication from IBM on important issues or important events coming up. Okay. So, Joseph, I think that takes us to slide 20. And you can take it from here. Thanks.
Thank you, Doreen, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Tricia, we would like to open the line for questions.
Our first question comes from Paul Hogan. Your line is open.
Thank you. Thank you for a wonderful presentation. My question deals specifically with monitoring Data Power and its interaction with MQ Series. I think what I got from the presentation, and here's what I'd like to know, what do we need to do in Data Power to see the MQ puts and MQ gets and MQ connection type stuff and ITKM for SOA?
Okay, that is a really good question. Well, do you already have an appliance? Are you using a multi-protocol gateway for that?
I think we're using a multi-protocol gateway to interact with MQ-Series, yes.
Okay. So you have some flexibility there because for a multi-protocol gateway, you're going to be adding a style sheet or two to your processing policy, and you're going to be creating that WSM record yourself. Where it's not flexible is the WSM record format is defined. So, and it's defined in kind of SOA terms. So there's a field for operation and a field for port, things like that. So my first thought is that you'll have to kind of rig up those fields. If you want to indicate, you know, specifically what MQ queue manager you were dealing with, that maybe you could kind of misuse some of those fields to put in what you want.
So we populate our fields with what we want to see, and it will then trickle into the TEMS and the TEPS for us.
That's correct.
Ah, very good. And is there a document, a web page, a website, something where we can view examples to get this done?
Yeah, that resource, page 19, page 18, had a link to configuring data collection, data power SOA appliance. The ITCAM SOA Info Center has a lot of great information on setting up a multi-protocol gateway for data collection, and it even has a great picture of the client and server and the different phases of the processing. So it takes me a couple read-throughs, I'll tell you that much. And again, you know, the orientation of ITCAM SOA is SOA, so it's not like you've got free rein about what you record. But I feel like you could play with it and maybe get to where you want to be.
Very good. Thank you.
Hey, Paul?
Yes.
This is Kevin Dunphy in Tivoli Support. You also may want to look at some of our documentation concerning the monitoring of Message Broker, and that may give you some ideas and some precedent as far as some things you may want to do with your MQ applications. Like Doreen mentioned, you know, a service is conceptually an aggregate of operations. You can take whatever MQ-relevant attributes you want and map them into that model.
Excellent. Thank you.
Sure.
Our next question comes from Vin Magoji. Your line is open.
Nice presentation, but you have a couple of questions. First question is, how does this ITCAM, is this going to integrate or use any of the message counters that we set up? Because I'm using multi-protocol gateway, and I have a few message counters that I've set up. So does ITCAM, is it able to go pull that counters also? That's question number one.
Right, not by default. So you've got them defined on a multi-protocol gateway, and you're just wanting to pull just the counter. And I think basically the WSM buffer is still oriented toward tracking each request as it comes through. So if you're thinking that you already have message counters keeping track of how many requests come through the appliance and you just want ITCAM SOA to go after those, almost anything's possible in a style sheet, but I don't think you'd be able to. You're still getting processing based on every request and response coming through the appliance. So I don't think initially that you'd be able to just go have ITCAM SOA collect the message counter information.
Similarly to the answer for Paul, if you're using a multi-protocol gateway, then you can put some of that information into the blanks that we've defined in that record, but that's going to be kind of an extreme case. That kind of falls into the hacking the data model a bit. Doreen, are those counters typically available either by SNMP or by some other means?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll take that question offline with Ben, because
ITM has a feature called Agent Builder, which allows you to build an agent to represent data from a variety of sources, such as log files, such as SNMP, such as any, you know, there's a pretty rich vocabulary of sources you can use. So one option, even though we can't get it in ITCAM for SOA, you may be able to get it into your Tivoli monitoring infrastructure by use of an Agent Builder application.
Okay, so then we will probably want to follow up with you offline on that. If it's something you end up wanting to pursue, so you could email me, and we can dive into that a little deeper.
Cool, thank you.
What was you had a second question, though, right?
Yeah, the second question is, again, with multi-protocol gateway, one of the reasons we started using multi-protocol gateway was our WSDLs, for whatever reason, don't comply with WSI profiles. But there are few services that the WSDLs comply. So is there a way that within multi-protocol gateway itself you can add the WSDL and use ITCAM SOA in the WSM buffer to collect statistics instead of going through process of creating these style sheets?
Not that I know of, but the style sheets aren't that bad. So if you start, for me, the info center took a couple of reads to get through, and the extension functions catalog does have the actual code in it that other people have used. So it's not awful to do the multi-protocol gateway style sheets. So I think that's your only avenue for multi-protocol gateway, because I don't know of any way to load WSDL, you know, into the multi-protocol gateway configuration and kind of tag it as the basis for ITCAM SOA collection. But
that's okay. I was just being curious. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Chuck Chang. Your line is open.
Hey. I have a couple questions. The first is, do you know the minimum privilege required for a data collector to go into data power? My management is very strict about this security kind of issue.
Yeah, that's documented in the ITCAM Info Center,
mm-hmm.
And I think it's just read access for different aspects. And I don't remember the exact list. It's only like 4 or 5 different discrete resources that you need access to. So if you want to email me, I can send you the link to the page where it documents that, or the user tech note that I talked about too, that Joseph's going to post on this site for this presentation,
mm-hmm.
I think has a pointer over to that page as well.
And I guess you guys verify that and it works as documented.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Sometimes he doesn't.
If it doesn't, you know where to call, right?
Well,
yeah.
Okay. My second question is, there is some basic monitoring tools built in, I mean, within the data power box, I think called SLM. We can see chart, we can set up notification, we can throttle it. And, I mean, just from your experience, what's the most advantage to use ITCAM for SOA over the native data power monitoring tool?
I'm not an expert on service level monitoring, but I think of that mostly as relates to its throttling capability, right? Being able to slow down your business traffic to the point where your back end can handle it and won't be overloaded. And I haven't really used the monitoring features of it. But I think probably the main thing, and I'll let Kevin answer because he knows more about the Tivoli side than me, is I didn't show the topology support, like the different kinds of pages that you can see, but there's capability there. Like, data power isn't your endpoint, right? Your back end, like, you know, if you might have WebSphere or JBoss or something else on the back end, and ITCAM SOA and other ITCAM products can monitor those as well, and you can see the flow through your whole solution, not just the data power piece. So if your customers are complaining about poor response time or, you know, outages or whatever, you really have a really powerful tool on the Tivoli side to see the whole end-to-end solution, not just the little data power piece of it.
Okay, so I think the topology view is a big advantage. So help me understand more deeply. So does that, when you want to use those style sheets, does it mean I put some like tracers in the message? So DataPol can, well, so IT can for SOA can figure out where the message goes through different objects in DataPower. Is that how it works? Or is something different?
That's how I think of it, is it adds a little header. You know how the SOAP request typically has a header and a body, and it adds another header attribute that Tivoli uses to track the message through all the different components it goes through. Kevin, do you want to add more to that?
Yeah, that's exactly the mechanism that we use. We count at each hop that a transaction takes, if you're thinking in an abstract term, not a concept, not a specific term. But every hop that we see of a particular transaction, we'll calculate a particular correlator value and attach that as a SOAP header to the message, so that when a client sends a message to your data power, if we monitored that client, then we attached a header to that message. The logic that you coded into your style sheets, the extension functions in the appliance know how to interpret that correlator. They provide that information to CAMP for SOA through that WSM buffer.
The
server, a header is attached, and the data collector on the WebSphere app server interprets that correlator. And by following the pieces of information that are encoded in that correlator, allows Tivoli code to construct a diagram that says this requester sent a message to this data power appliance, which sent it to this application server, which then sent it to the appliance again, because maybe your appliance is acting like an ESB, and it went to their server before following the trip back.
Okay, so it's like a tracer attached to a SOAP header. So once I get rid of the SOAP header, for example, translated into a JDBC code, and I lost track of it. But once I get data and construct another SOAP message, then the mechanism comes back. Is that a fair statement?
IT CAMP for SOA by itself only follows the web services. Once a message is received by a web service and then causes a JDBC transaction to take place, SOA no longer sees that. Is that in a WebSphere server?
Yeah, it is. Not just JDBC. I have a bunch of clients.
Right.
Yeah, but they are not web services. Yeah.
There are other elements in the Tivoli monitoring and the Tivoli composite application monitoring family. IT CAMP for application diagnostics, I think, is the current name. But we've got an agent that instruments many aspects of the WebSphere app server. And we also have IT CAMP for transaction tracking.
Okay.
So there's several other pieces of the Tivoli portfolio that can help you fill in some of those gaps.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you very much.
I show no further questions at this time.
Thank you, Trisha. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.